The murderers on death row today should be executed. Excuse me, what did he just say? My name's Doug McBurney, and I heard Bob Enyart say just that in 1995, and I've been listening ever since. I found out that the death penalty is at the heart of the gospel, and that Christianity and justice need not be mutually exclusive. A video titled God and the Death Penalty is available today at kgov.com. God and the Death Penalty examines God's ideas about justice. You'll learn the New Testament verses affirming the death penalty and understand why God never repealed capital punishment. Find out God's opinion. Order God and the Death Penalty today at kgov.com. That's God and the Death Penalty at kgov.com.
And welcome to the Bob Enyart Live Show. I am not Bob Enyart, as you might have guessed. I am still Greg Jackson, as I was yesterday, filling in for Bob Enyart. And I will say that we are still on a mission from God, even though Bob is not in this chair. But he's planning the strategy behind the personhood amendment that hopefully is going to be passed. Amendment 62, which hopefully a majority of people who live in this state will pass and enshrine into law, in the supreme law of the land here in Colorado, the Colorado Constitution. I have no doubt that that will happen in November, Lord willing. And if you heard yesterday's show, folks, by the way, speaking of Bob, you gotta go to kgov.com. He's got a lot of stuff there that you can buy, listen to archives of shows, but also most importantly, folks, we need your cash. Was that too shameless a plug? To just, no? Okay, producers out here in the glass are nodding their heads, no. So we do need your cash, folks, because there are very few shows like this left. This is a remnant of truth-based, biblical-based radio. And Bob Enyart, faithful pastor of Denver Bible Church, talk show host, TV extraordinaire of the Bob Enyart Live Show. Is there anything that Bob hasn't done? No, I'm looking at Bob's mom, and she's nodding no. Apparently, he's got all his bases covered. But he is the brainchild behind the personhood amendment, which, as I said before, we're going to vote, the majority of us, and we're going to enshrine it in law. But for now, folks, until that time, we got to keep Bob on the air. So call 1-800-8-ENYART. That's 1-800-836-9278, 1-800-836-9278, and I'm going to do my part and give everybody who donates to keep Bob Enyart live on the air a copy of my book, Conservative Comebacks to Liberal Lies, which debunks, as we're going to do on this show with my guests, every liberal lie from abortion to homosexual marriage, environmentalism, you name it. We got them covered. 331, I think, unique claims of the left that you hear all the time, and we debunk them with factual-based evidence. That's what we practice here. And also, folks, I will have you know that when you call 1-800-8-ENYART, or that's 1-800-836-9278, I'll have you know that you are not only just making a contribution to keeping a radio show on the air, but you're making an eternal investment. You really are, because what Bob Enyart and Doug McBurney and all the rest of the folks who do this show, they are broadcasting truth. This is Holy Spirit radio going forth. And so you are ensuring that that truth gets broadcast to as large amount of people as possible. And Lord willing, maybe there's even one of you listening right now who might be really, really wealthy, who might have been blessed in a business or whatever, and you want to make an eternal investment before you pass on. Maybe you're getting toward the end of your life. Maybe you got a couple million, 10. Maybe you got $100 million in the bank, and you just happen to be listening to my voice. It is no coincidence if you are listening to my voice and you're really rich. Today is your day. If you want to keep this show on the air, why not buy time in the 50 leading markets? You've loved Bob Enyart for so many years here in Colorado, and you think to yourself, well, I would love for everybody in America to hear him, not just for a half hour, but 3 hours a day. Well, You can call 1-800-8-NYARD. This is getting shameless right now, but I'm serious, folks. 1-800-836-9278. Make a big donation, or even if all you can afford is 5, 10 bucks, 15, 20, whatever it is that you can afford, you're doing your part, you're keeping it alive, or you can go to KGOV.com. Well, listen, now that I got all of that out of the way, we are going to get to our guests. If you heard the show yesterday, we're talking about what I believe and what many of you, I believe, think to be the most important issue of the day. We can't expect, we're coming off the National Day of Prayer, we can't expect the God of the Bible, the Father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to continually bless a country, despite the fact that we countenance, we allow 3,000 to 4,000 babies, depending on your estimate, a day to be murdered in abortion mills throughout this country. We can't lie to ourselves anymore, folks, and claim, oh, God is blessing our country. Folks, look, we are under judgment. This is the truth. Listen to me now. Take a look at yourself in the mirror. This is what God has forced me to do over the past couple of years. Instead of trying to remove the plank or the speck of dust from your brother's eye, take a look in the mirror and remove that big old fat plank from your own. Now, I'm not saying that everybody that is listening to me has a big old fat plank, but I do know that if we're real honest with ourselves and we take inventory, we will see that there are many areas of our own lives that we need to clean up before we can even attempt to ask God to bless this country. But I believe that it is possible. One of the ways I think we can do that is for Christians to get involved in stopping the silent genocide. That's what I refer, and many others refer to, as the 50 million babies a day that have been killed in abortion factories in this country, in the United States of America, since 1973, when quote-unquote Roe versus Wade became the quote-unquote law of the land. And with me to discuss the exciting developments in the personhood amendment, which could, I believe, end abortion in the state of Colorado and then start a tidal wave across the country, are two of the leading pro-life activists in the state of Colorado, Joe Scott, who's the director of Pro-Life Colorado, and also the head of the leading rescuing organization in this state called Pro-Life Colorado. You can go to prolifecolorado.com to check that website out and to see all the good work that Joe is doing and her husband. And then also joining me is her friend for many years, Leslie Hanks, who's the VP of Colorado Right to Life and the co-sponsor of Personhood Colorado, which is what we're going to be talking about. Ladies, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Greg.
Hey, Greg.
Well, look, we talked yesterday about, we went into depth a little bit for those of you who might have been. And by the way, if you didn't listen to yesterday's show, go on to kgov.com after the show and listen to the archives and you get filled in. I think there was a lot of really powerful information that you ladies shared with us about what type of girls are going in and what the reason they're going into these abortions. You guys are on ground zero. Joe, you're going to the abortion clinics every day, these Planned Parenthood abortion clinics, and you save 100 babies a year from, you know, basically you're helping to change these. I mean, ultimately, it's the Holy Spirit that's convicting and working through you as a vessel, but your work has paid off. I mean, you are saving 100 babies who would be killed a year.
It's not just me, Greg. There's a lot of other people out on the sidewalks with me working hard, like Leslie, my husband Ken, and others are there every day with me. Very rarely am I ever alone. You know, I need the help of everyone there.
Well, of course.
You feel like coming out, boy.
You feel alone sometimes, though, right?
Yes, yeah, sometimes you do.
Even when you're together. By the way, I just realized that in my opening monologue, I said 50 million abortions a day. Now, that would be we'd really be under judgment, but I meant to say 50 million since Roe versus Wade. So I want to correct myself. I think it's 3,000 to 4,000 on the conservative end if you don't count chemical abortions, right, ladies?
Right.
Per day in our country.
Right.
Right. So that's a I think, a pretty fair estimate.
It is. And, you know, we talked yesterday about it's not just a procedure, and that is something that I think the personhood movement is really starting to help people awaken to the fact that it is a baby in the womb that's growing, has a heartbeat, by the end of the first trimester is almost perfectly, completely developed, and it's not just a procedure. Everybody thinks about it as just an abstraction, but Joe's there on the front lines. And those gals are going in there, and those babies, their arms and legs are being ripped off. It's just criminal, and there's going to be a reckoning all that innocent blood that's been shed, there has to be a reckoning for it.
Hey, but before we get in, I want to talk about that in this, but if there, you know, I want to be sensitive to this as well, and I always try to be when I talk about this issue. There's got to be women out there who are maybe even listening right now who know somebody who's had an abortion or has had an abortion. So before we get into personhood and really trying to right a lot of the wrong that's been done, what do you say to the woman, and you probably do this at the abortion clinics too, when they're coming out after having an abortion, you got to tell them the bad news, but you got to give them the good news too. What is the good news that these women should know? Maybe some of them had an abortion 30 or 40 years ago. They're still having the flashbacks. They still remember that day. They feel tremendous guilt and anxiety, and they might, you know, dress it up and act as though they're happy and, but really, they still feel it to this day. What do you tell them?
Well, Greg, you're right. They don't digest abortion and it's gone. It stays with them for the rest of their life. And when they're coming out, I tell them, what you've done is wrong. You've killed your child. And the only place you're going to find peace now is with Jesus Christ. This isn't going to go away. You need to go to the Lord and you need to repent and you need to get forgiveness. And
that he can forgive, and he wants to forgive.
He wants to forgive you, and he can, but I only have 30 seconds there. Run out and get in the car. But what happens, Greg, is women will drive by me on the street, and they'll look at me, maybe sometimes for 2 days. And they'll be, I know who they are when I see them. They come by, and they'll drive around the block a few times, and they'll slowly stop, and they'll get out of the car, and then almost every time they'll walk over to me and say, please don't hate me.
Mm.
Now, these are these women whose lives are supposed to be better because they've had an abortion. And this is 10 years down the line a lot of times. And they'll say, please don't hate me, but I had an abortion and I can't sleep. And they are coming to somebody they think is nuts. The media portrays us as crazy people who might kill you. And they have not gotten better off financially. They are not better off emotionally, spiritually, or psychologically. And so they have nobody to go to. They can't afford a psychologist. So they come to us on the street to talk. So they can talk. Of course, we hug them. We love them.
They want compassion.
We plug them into programs that they need. And if they all fall through the cracks and don't fit any program, I counsel them.
But there is an answer.
There
for women who might be
answer.
Struggling with flashbacks right now.
Yes.
Right, who still feel that guilt and remorse, they can go to, I'm sure you have some of the resources probably.
We have all kinds of resources, and all you have to do is look up Rachel's Vineyard for one.
And you'll talk with them personally today.
Yes, I will.
If any of them want to reach out to you.
Yes, and don't ever feel bad about driving up to that abortion clinic and getting out of the car and talking to us, because we love you. I'm not at the abortion clinic because I don't care about you.
Or that
I care
you
about
condemn
the moms.
People, right?
I care. I want to save you from the harm that you're facing there. And if I can do that, even after abortion, I'm going to. You can call me at 303-550-8170, and I'll talk to you, and I'll cry with you, and I'm the one that will sit with you in the middle of the night when you can't sleep and you're hearing babies cry. Planned Parenthood isn't going to be there for you then, because you've just had a blob of tissue removed and you have no right to feel guilty for that.
But Leslie Hanks, let's bring you into the conversation a little bit. Vice President of Colorado Right to Life and co-sponsor of the Personhood Colorado Amendment 62 that we're going to be voting on in just a matter of months here in November. Explain to our audience, if they're not familiar with this Personhood Amendment 62, what is it in brief?
Well,
what will it do to the Constitution if it's passed?
It will amend the Constitution to say that the term person will apply to every human being from the beginning of the biological development of that human being. You talked about the term conception yesterday when mm-hmm. we were on air, and that term, people kind of know what we mean when we say conception or fertilization. Amendment 48 said fertilization. Conception has been hijacked back in the late 60s, I believe it was. The American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology redefined the word conception to mean implantation. So we know that sometimes a baby is conceived or the egg and sperm meet in the fallopian tubes most of the time, and it takes almost a week before the baby implants. Well, that's still a living brand new human being. It's either a little baby girl or a little baby boy, and it's worthy of legal protection. But the College of Obstetrics and Gynecology says the woman's not pregnant until that baby implants in the womb.
Now, a lot of people would say, well, you say it's a little baby, but really, you know, the way it's cast is that it's just a bunch of cells, a blob of tissue, no real humanity, and you guys are crazy thinking that you're protecting an innocent child. But isn't it a fact, though, that at the very moment of conception, once that sperm, the father's sperm, fertilizes the mother's ovum or egg, a process known as fertilization or fecundation, I believe is the Latin term, where that baby, that new formed human being, because it's not a dog, right? It's not. It has to be a human being. Nobody can argue that. Even if you're an atheist, even in first year embryology textbook, it says in medical school that what is formed is an actual human being. And isn't it a fact that that new unique human being has the same 46 chromosomes they will have till natural death, as well as a totally unique set of DNA at the very moment of conception, Leslie Hanks?
Absolutely.
That it will, that totally unique from any of the other 6 billion people in the world, that baby will have until natural death. Is that right. Not a fact?
That's a fact. And so that's the whole goal of the personhood movement, is to recognize legally that it is a baby from the very, very earliest hours of the biological development of this new human being. If you've ever seen, there's an image that I want to say that Newsweek actually ran of the miraculous moment right after the sperm and egg meet. And you can see the fingerprints of God all over that. You know the one I'm talking about,
yes,
Joe?
I do. You know, Greg, from the fallopian tube, Dr. Joel Brind, he's the one that runs, he's the president of the Breast Cancer Prevention Institute, and he's an endocrinologist. He's a brilliant man. But he talks about the baby's first cry, and it comes from the fallopian tube. A hormone is a chemical that runs around the human body, and it spurs on different chemical reactions within your body. A pheromone is a chemical that is meant to communicate with another body, not your own body. It doesn't work within your own body. The baby in the fallopian tube emits a pheromone to the mother to signal her not to shed the lining of the uterus.
Wow.
Because he's coming to implant.
God is
he's
so
hungry.
Amazing.
Don't shed that lining. I'm hungry, Mom. Baby's first cry from the fallopian tube. It cannot be the mother's body if that baby is emitting a pheromone. That's an amazing thing. The sad part about that is scientists have learned how to detect that pheromone so they can have early pregnancy tests and kill the baby earlier.
Unbelievable. Another thing that's so incredible about the baby's first hours and days, about the 18th day is when we say the heart beats the first time. And yet we know that there is a pulsation that goes on from the earliest hours that is like a precursor to the heartbeat. So really the heart is almost beating way before 18 days. But even at 18 days, you're so newly pregnant, you have no idea. And yet every abortion stops a beating heart.
Well, yeah, but a beating heart, too, in and of itself, isn't the definition of a human being.
Correct.
Or even a viable human being, because we know that there's people on life support every day. Certain organs aren't working, or maybe they have an artificial heart, so we don't kill them.
Right. No, I just say that because Planned Parenthood will say, oh, the baby
what
has
else?
No heartbeat.
And what else? Early on, and you can hear as this push to pass Personhood Amendment 62 gathers momentum, you're going to hear more and more objections to it. And the most frequent one that I've heard so far is obviously the old straw man of the life of the mother, right? That there's no exceptions here. And unfortunately, people who claim to be pro-life actually parroting some of those, but that's another story for another time. But it's the life of the mother, and rape and incest exceptions are the ones that the pro-aborts, and they know that if those exceptions are left in there, it's very vague, and the abortionist can basically say, oh, yeah, we performed the abortion because the woman was raped.
Well, you know, it's ironic. I believe the very first law, well, there's a little dispute about whether Colorado carried the very first law or Mississippi. We probably in Colorado had the second under Dick Lamb, but I believe those were the three things that he said we had to have abortion for back in 1967, April 25th.
Life of the mother, rape, and incest.
Right. And you, and where did we go from there? Those right. extremely rare scenarios, and yet now we have 4,000 babies dying every single day.
But let's break those down, because they do seem reasonable on their face. Let's take the rape. Someone's been raped. I mean, that's an emotional issue. What's the argument for saying, well, even then, you still can't kill the baby?
Well, the baby is the innocent victim. You never kill someone for the crime of their father. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're so adverse to the death penalty for criminals in this country. So we penalize the wrong person. We kill the baby and we don't even hold the father accountable.
Yeah. And the other thing is, you know, a young girl has been raped by a stranger, mm-hmm. probably told that if she tells on the stranger that someone in her family is going to be hurt or she'll be hurt. She's taken to Planned Parenthood or any other abortion mill in the country and not asked any questions. She's again violated by the abortionist, no questions asked, and sent home with a rapist. And the evidence of what's happening to her is gone.
That's done routinely, you think, at Planned Parenthood?
I know it's done routinely.
Yeah. So, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say Lila Rose has demonstrated that
undercover.
Like maybe at least five times that...
They're coerced, yeah.
Well, the fact that Planned Parenthood covers up for statutory rape all the time. We had evidence of that we took to the Colorado Attorney General John Souther's office. Bob Enyart, Joe and I went. We had an audio tape from Life Dynamics. That actually a young girl called in. She wasn't as young as she sounded, but she said, you know, I've been impregnated and my boyfriend's in his 30s and I'm 16. And, or maybe she said 15, I suppose, because statutory rape here is probably 16. So anyway, Planned Parenthood routinely says, call back and don't tell us how old the guy is. So we took that evidence to John Souther's office and we were told nothing could be done.
So the system, basically covering up for...
And you look at these women now that are coming forward that are the product of rape. Can you look in their eyes and tell them you don't have a right to live?
That's right.
You know, that's horrible to say to someone. And then if you talk to the women that have been raped and then violated a second time by the abortionist, they are not happy with the decision that they made at a time of a crucial moment in their life when they have been raped. Everyone's saying, oh, you don't want this baby. You don't want this baby. Abort the baby. And then they miss that baby.
Well, yeah.
They're not okay.
Right. And not to mention that a brutal act has been done to the woman in the first place. And then to compound it, we're basically saying, well, to solve the problem, we're going to basically commit another act, a brutal physical act against you and violate you, which is what abortion is. Correct?
Exactly.
And that merely compounds it. So instead of ameliorating the situation, it actually exacerbates it.
Even more than that, they were a victim of rape. Now they become a perpetrator of murder.
Of murder.
Along
Great
with being violated again. How does a woman cope with that?
And don't most women who are raped, don't most of them, and I don't know exactly what the statistics are, don't most of them... Just they want to keep the baby. They just want support. And if only we could love them enough to support them and love the baby enough, isn't that what these women really want, is just support?
Women may not know that that's what they want. They're frightened. They've been violated. They're frightened of what's happened to them. But we need to love them and nurture them and care for them and get them through the tough times. It's not going to be easy. These are horrible sins that have been committed, and there will be consequences. But to add to that sin with murder, she can't cope spiritually. She's dying inside spiritually, and nobody's paying attention to that.
And the same is true for incest, too, right, Leslie? I mean, when you that argument of, you know, you're basically
sending her home with a rapist, of course. Yeah, that That's crazy that the father would bring her in. She's aborted. He can take her home and do the same thing, the same crime over and over and over again with no evidence. The evidence is gone.
Okay. So what about the life of the mother in the remaining minutes that we have here before we talk a little bit about personhood?
Well, you never want to kill a baby. You never want to murder a baby. It's always a baby. It's always wrong. Abortion's always wrong. And if the mother's life is in jeopardy, you do a cesarean section. You don't take the time to dismember the baby.
And how often is it, does that occur where the mother's life truly, authentically is in danger? Because the facts, I mean, the statistics I've read is, I mean, Bernard Nathanson, who performed more abortions than any other abortionist in the country, I believe has congressional testimony saying that there's never an instance where, or maybe it was C. Everett Koop as well, there's never an instance where the life of the mother ever has to be taken, or where a baby's life has to be taken to save the life of a mother.
You're right. Whenever a woman is pregnant and there's a medical problem, the doctor has two patients. You don't kill a child to save the mother. He has two patients, and if along the way the baby doesn't make it,
yep,
the mother is guilt-free, the doctor is guilt-free, and those abortionists have souls. We need to be reaching out to them, not just condemning them. Those men are on their way to hell in a handbasket, and we need to be reaching out to them too and softening their blow by the Lord by telling them the truth. You protect them. You protect the doctor, you protect the mother, and you mm-hmm. protect the baby. If along the way the baby dies, nobody's made a direct act to kill that child. And women that are so sick and they go in, say, for a late-term abortion, that late-term abortion is traumatic. It's traumatic. If she's that sick, she's not going to survive a late-term abortion.
So in the couple minutes that we have remaining, and Leslie, did you want to say something?
I was just going to say it. Yeah. Usually those late-term abortions take several days because they have to dilate the mom. And so if she's truly, her for life is truly in danger, as our nurse Lolita says, you never would take the time to do a late-term abortion.
Well, listen, in the last couple minutes, this is great information, and I'm hoping that it's convicting some people that maybe think one way about abortion, and maybe now they're thinking a different way about it. But what In the last couple of minutes that we have, speak to Christians, just rank and file Christians who may be listening to this show, as well as people in leadership positions, as to why they should have a vested interest, why they should be involved at their church, why pastors should be talking about this, why people like Dr. James Dobson, for example, should be championing this, not just signing a petition or even having their members at their church sign a petition, but owning this and championing this. Speak to those pastors right now.
Well, we don't need any more petition sign because we're on the ballot.
We're already on the ballot.
We're on the ballot
in November
for this fall. And God bless the pastors that did step up to the plate. We had just some really impressive involvement this time that hasn't happened in a long time. But, you know, the thing that's so exciting to me is that this is a new way of looking at the baby. Much like in Hitler's Germany and much like with the slave trade in America, we have said that these babies for the longest time were the property of the mother. That's wrong. That is evil. The baby is a person. So one of our slogans is going to be persons, not property. It's a whole new way of looking at the baby. But we know that baby is infinitely valuable in God's sight. And so, pastors, we do want you to come alongside this campaign. And
not only come alongside, but lead.
Lead, yeah, absolutely.
It's not going to pass without all of the bodies of Jesus Christ all around Colorado coming together, is it, and taking a stand for those who cannot speak for themselves.
That's right. But praise God, we're on the ballot, and I think we're going to have to do another show, Greg, to get all the personhood information out there.
Well, I know Bob's going to be championing it. Joe Scott and Leslie Hanks, thanks for being here on the Bob Enyart Show. God bless you both. Go to kgov.com. Keep Bob Enyart on the air. And remember, Maranatha Christian School, it's the best in all of Colorado.
At Bob Enyart Live and kgov.com, you'll find literature, audio, and video products that are a must for the library of any Christian interested in studying the truth of the Bible. You'll find essential material like the plot manuscript, an overview of the whole Bible that will clear up doctrinal issues. Then there's The Tree, a fun audio journey back to the Garden of Eden, where you'll learn about this most famous tree and its impact on humanity. Check out the Mount Moriah video. This video gives evidence for the resurrection, combining biblical and secular resources. It's a great witnessing tool. And don't forget the death penalty video. Learn that Jesus advocated the death penalty and learn how God put the death penalty at the heart of the gospel. You can directly help Bob's outreach by subscribing to Best of Bob, Bob's Best 8 Shows of the Month, or build a Bible study library by ordering the monthly Bible albums. There's a lot more, so give us a call at 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. 1-800-836-9278 or KGOV.com.